Thanks, John. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's good to be with you. It really is just a distinct joy for me and my family, or that's bad English, right? My family and I to be with you all this morning. It really is. We've just been privileged to walk through this season with you all, privileged to be considered for something like this with you all, and to pray alongside each of you about God's purposes and plans and all this. So really is just a joy and a delight to be here and getting to know just several folks throughout the last several months, and John and Nancy, and I could read you the list, and then I'm going to forget somebody, and I'll feel bad, but really, it's just been a distinct joy, and we really do feel privileged to be walking forward with you all in this, and thank you for your prayers. We have needed them, and we have felt them, and we are grateful to be partnering with you in this process, but really privileged to partner with you as just sister churches, even in a different region, throughout the years. There's a real way, and it's intangible, but it's very real, that just strong, healthy local churches help just care for other strong, healthy local churches. So our church has been benefited by just your health and your strength and your partnership and our shared mission. So we really are grateful to be here. Afterwards, I think Eric's going to ask me kind of a few questions, so hopefully get to know me a little bit more personally. But we'll move on to the message for now. But it really is, again, a real honor to be with you all this morning. We'll go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to be reading out of one verse this morning. We're going to be reading out of Matthew 5, verse 7. Matthew 5, verse 7. We're going to be reading one verse where Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew 5, verse 7 says this: "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." I have a friend who pointed me to this website that we both really find funny. It's a website that they talk about movies, and it's sort of a movie review site, but their thing is that they put movies in sort of the most basic and simplest of terms. So they describe them accurately, but they do so in the most basic of ways. So the movie Rudy, they describe like this: a young man tries to make the Notre Dame football team. And so that's how they describe it. And if you ever watch the movie, you're like, well, that is what the story's about, but there's this whole human spirit that they just, totally neglected. And the movie Titanic, they describe this way: the story of the famous vessel from 1912 and its maiden voyage, which, again, they're not giving any spoilers with that one, in case you haven't seen it, but that is what it's about. But my favorite is how they describe Star Wars. They describe Star Wars this way: the classic tale of father versus son, set in space. So if you're familiar with these movies, you're like, yeah, that's partly true. But these descriptions strike me as true, but actually failing to tell you anything that what the movie is about, right? These movies are meant to have depth. The characters are sort of meant to have sort of this, a fullness to them and a nuance to them. And there's a beauty in what their stories are trying to capture. And this, it's just completely lost when you distill it down too much. And I have a concern that many Christians do that with this beatitude, that we can say accurate things, but we can distill it down to where it lacks any of its actual meaning and beauty. Because it actually has there really is a depth to this beatitude, and it's meant to help govern the Christian ethic. This is a rich calling that we are meant to walk in, but I think it can just be missed when we just distill it down too much. And rightly understood, it's richer than we think, and it's much harder than we think, and it rightly understood, it really shows us more of who Jesus is and how dependent we are upon him. So we're going to look at blessed are the merciful this morning, and three aspects of mercy that we're going to look at together. Point number one is the disposition of mercy, the disposition of mercy. So Jesus here is preaching, and he's beginning the Sermon on the Mount. So most of you all would be familiar. This is the most famous sermon in all of Scripture, and Jesus is preaching to his disciples, and he's in a section called the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes are not primarily commands, though the Christian ought to do them, but they are attitudes and ethics that are meant to mark the Christian life. So these are not do these to become a Christian, but since you are a Christian, this is already true of you, so walk in this. So because this is true of your identity, walk in the good of that. That's what the Beatitudes are. We have a parakeet at home named Luke, and It would sort of be ridiculous if I said, all right, Luke, grow feathers so that you become a bird, right? I mean, he grows his feathers because he is a bird, right? His true identity is he's a parakeet, so he grows blue feathers. And so this is not be merciful in order to receive mercy. This is not earned mercy. That's a failure of definition. Mercy is never earned. But this is, since you already have it, live your life in a way that demonstrates that. And as you do, you will be blessed, and you'll be more and more future partakers of mercy. So this is, as you walk in mercy, it verifies the mercy you've been given, and it lays the groundwork for more mercy to be given to you, and the more you experience, the more you give. And so this verse is in the future tense, right? For they shall receive mercy, but it really has in mind that it assumes that the past mercy that you've been given, that you're experiencing the mercy of God right now, and as you walk in it, you just lay the groundwork to receive more and more of the mercy of God. So as you walk in it, you can just anticipate even more mercy coming in. And so what is mercy? Mercy is likely what you think it is, or very close to what you think it is. Grace and mercy are often used at the same time in Scripture, and they are similar ideas. Grace would deal more with the sins of man, and mercy would deal more with the miserable condition of living in a fallen world, the miserable condition of living in a sinful world, or just sort of the consequences of sin. So grace really meets men in their sin, and mercy, if you will, meets men in their misery caused by sin. Probably the closest other biblical word for mercy would really be this Old Testament idea of loving kindness. So whenever you see loving kindness in the Old Testament, that would be the closest sort of exact word. And so it's to look at the miserable consequences of sin and to act out of loving kindness. So obviously it would involve emotions at some point, but it's really more than that. It's movement. It's action, whether that be extending forgiveness or helping alleviate suffering in some way. And so you might be thinking, okay, yep, so mercy is extending forgiveness when asked. I won't seek retribution when they ask. It's, you know, maybe seeing a beggar and offering a dollar or a meal. You know, being mistreated at school or at the office, and, you know, I'm not going to seek retribution, I'm just going to pray for that person. Mercy sort of allows people to live with different preferences on the right approach to COVID, right? And boy, how they do masks and what they think about visits, and sort of I'm going to assume the best of them. I'm not going to assume just because we think slightly differently that we're enemies, or, you know, that I'm going to read into all these things. I'm just going to, you know, just be cool with living with people with different convictions. And all that would be true, right? But I think if that's where we stopped, we'd be doing what this movie description did, which is, okay, yep, that tells you something true, but it actually fails to miss the depth that Jesus is communicating in this verse. See, in some ways, if we stop there with mercy, we can kind of check the box and move on. But that's not really what Jesus is pointing at here. You see, our calling to be merciful runs very deeply. It's meant to be a primary governing ethic. So we just can't put it in the camp of like, well, it's an act. I gave to this. It's a certain interaction. I can sort of check the box and move on. Those things are an outflow of mercy. But for the Christian, mercy is meant to be a disposition of heart and character. And it's a direction of heart. It's the aim of the heart. The Christian is one who is merciful and then looks for ways to express that in the world around them. So it's aiming and it's walking and it's working at mercy. It's not waiting for it, but it's looking for it. And it's looking for it in relationships around them, in the world at large, and in daily interactions. And it's looking to express this disposition in various ways. So mercy is meant to be an active pursuit of the Christian. Which means a couple of things. One is that mercy is not lazy. Mercy is not the dad, you know, hearing the kids fighting upstairs and you know, just not wanting to intervene because he's just tired and, you know, just, you know, I'm just being merciful right now, so I'm just going to let that go. That's not what mercy is. Mercy is also not just not acting like we don't see evil in the world around us. Like, you know, they're going to do their thing, you know, that's not mercy. Mercy is not failing to tell a fallen world about sin. Mercy is not acting like we haven't been hurt or that sin does not tear apart. See, mercy is not indifference towards sin. It's loving those who are in sin or facing difficulty because of the consequences of sin or just because of living in a fallen world. It's not ignoring sin. It's stepping into a situation where with sin in it, with loving kindness. Mercy is also not the opposite of justice. Mercy is not a promotion of injustice. See, mercy is the opposite of vindictive. It's the opposite of revenge. But part of justice, right, part of shalom and wholeness in Scripture is making things right. And so mercy is a way that justice is extended. So a judge in a courtroom who sentences the guilty, that's one aspect of justice that he is acting on. But those who in mercy help restore the broken for both the wronged and the wrongdoer bring a fuller justice to a situation. It brings a fullness of situation that really justice wants, and that's what mercy is pointing towards. So it's loving kindness to people in need. And it's a promotion of God's cause of justice in the world through loving kindness. It's not in competition with the justice of God. It's not blessed are the unjust or the unfair. But I think it's this real application of what Micah calls us to, and to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And so there's just this way that justice and mercy, we're going to feel the tension at times of how do we walk towards both, but they are very much friends. And they can really only be navigated as we walk humbly with our God. And so it's blessed are the merciful. It's blessed are those with this disposition of heart. And so mercy is not primarily an act, though it leads to acts. It's not an emotion. It's not how do I feel right now. It's not do I feel compassion or sympathy for this person or situation. It's a willful decision to be directed by the new disposition that God has given us and to walk in that manner. So second point I want to look at is the barrier of mercy. The barrier of mercy. See, there's something quite counterintuitive about this beatitude, right? It's blessed are the merciful, happy are the merciful, which that sounds good, right? This is one of these verses that even, you know, your non-Christian neighbor, people that, you know, don't really, you know the Lord, you know, that, yeah, we like this Jesus. You know, blessed are the merciful. We all agree. Like, we'll sign us up for that one, right? This is the Jesus everybody can agree on. Until one realizes that blessed is the merciful isn't a soundbite, and it's not just be kind of message, but mercy is costly, and it hurts. So blessed is the one who puts themselves in a position to pay dearly and to hurt and to be hurt again. See, there's a way that everybody can agree on, that everybody likes, that you can put sort of just human kindness and generosity under the mercy category and umbrella, and sometimes that really is costly, and sometimes it's not. But a lifestyle that pursues mercy is costly, and it's messy. See, since mercy is not overlooking sin, or it's not acting like you don't see it, or that it's not a big deal. It acknowledges that sin is cosmic treason, that sin ruins lives and relationships, that sin has torn apart what is meant to be unified. And when you are sinned against, and when you are torn apart, when you are caught in sin's destructive path, mercy doesn't seek revenge, but mercy forgives. Mercy doesn't just sort of utter the words, hey, I forgive you, it's all good. It really forgives, and it doesn't count against them, and doesn't hold against them. Mercy pays the cost so that the sinner themselves won't pay it. Mercy restores and it reconciles. It absorbs the pain on themselves without throwing the pain back at them, which really hurts. When you're sinned against by someone like your children or your spouse or your parents or a close friend or a pastor or someone in this room, when you're sinned against by someone that should have known better, when they utter words that just hurt, and when you're excluded by them, and when you just feel like somebody just cut you in half, it really hurts. You know, the two safest places that I want in this world are my home and Mercy Hill Community Church. And so when someone hurts in those contexts, it hurts even more. And I'll just say, if you've not been hurt at Living Hope, I mean, welcome to Living Hope. Thanks for visiting with us this morning, right? I mean, there's just sinners in community, right? They're going to sin, right? And it's going to hurt, and it's going to really hurt. Like, you can't live in true community and not be close enough to each other to not get stepped on, right? Sinners in community are going to step on each other, and it's going to hurt. And there's going to be times when the brokenness of others just breaks you in some way. There's going to be times when the call to be merciful will be done in pain and in hurt, and you're still going to be wounded, and all your emotions are just going to want to pay back in some way. And mercy never asks the question, how do I feel about this other person right now? And it doesn't deny that there's pain. It doesn't say, hey, this was no big deal that I was just shredded in half right now. Yet it looks to pull in when sin would just naturally push away. Doesn't wait for others to meet my preferences or to see issues my way to say, hey, welcome to my community. See, mercy sounds really easy, right? When you just say, hey, blessed are the merciful, it sounds easy, but it's just the opposite. It absorbs the pain and hurt and exclusion and mockery, and it pays back in love. There's a high cost to mercy. In the world around us, mercy is costly. It looks at the world in need, and it acts, it moves, and it prays, and it gives. So he says, blessed is the one who is merciful, who has this disposition of heart to act in mercy. It means we're not waiting on the needy to knock on our door to act. We're making room for it in our budget. We're making room for it in our schedule. It costs real time. We need to have eyes open to see the needs of others around us. There's a dollars and cents cost to mercy. There's a societal and social cost to mercy. Mercy's hard. You know, I didn't just come up here to brag, but and I don't know at your own home what your personal ladder game is at your house, but we've got this ladder at our house, and I just promise you, it's better than your ladder. It really is. It's this, it's one of these ladders. It's like a 5-in-1, so it looks like a simple ladder, but we have like a three, like kind of, we have a tall house, and it can get like all the way to the top, and it can be like a step ladder, and you can almost like make it almost like scaffolding. Like whatever your ladder is at your house, and you think, oh, we have a good ladder, like we can go on the roof, like ours is better. I mean, it's cool. And you know, we'll see where the Lord continues to direct our steps. You might even get to see it someday, and you're going to love it. So I don't want to make anybody jealous, but just this is, I love our ladder, and it might be the coolest possession we have, is this ladder. But there's one thing I don't really like about our ladder. And that's namely that I'm really kind of afraid of heights. And so I have this really cool ladder that we can do all this, you know, we can get up to the roof whenever we want, which is, you know, exciting. But I hate going up the ladder because I'm really scared of getting on the roof. So there's this battle we have with the ladder of I can acknowledge it's really good. I can acknowledge, man, this is really useful. And I know how one goes up the ladder. But for me, I just stand in my own way of going up because I hate the idea of climbing up the ladder and then standing on the roof because I just know, like, I'm just going to fall right off, and that's the way it works. And so I have this, I know how the ladder works. I know it's kind of, you know, I've got everything there for it. It's this really cool thing, but I stand in my own way of ever really using the ladder and getting what its usefulness is. And there, you know, there's a problem when we hear of blessed are the merciful. And the problem is, we can't do it. We stand on our way. Blessed and the merciful. I mean, we know how, okay, I know what it looks like to extend mercy. I know what it looks like to forgive. I know what it looks like to sort of take the pain and not pay back. Yep, I know what that looks like. I understand the value of it. Yep, that is attractive. That is something that should be done. But the problem is, we can see it and we can just recognize, but I can't do it. See, mercy has a huge barrier, and that is not that it's hard, it's actually impossible on our own strength. It is impossible to forgive, to pay the price required to deal with the consequences of sin. You see, mercy has an obstacle, and it's that we are not by nature selfless. I don't need to know you all well to know by nature we don't like disadvantaging ourselves for the sake of others. We don't naturally love the one who sins against us, the one who causes us hurt and sacrifice. We are not naturally inclined to help. Yet what makes this command go from impossible to, for the Christian, it is part of their identity, and it goes for the Christian not only impossible, but as we grow in the Lord, it goes from impossible to inevitable to walk in this way. Third thing I want to look at this morning is the source of mercy. The source of mercy. If the source of mercy was our own compassion or our feelings towards other people at any given moment, or, boy, once I'm ready for pain, then I'm really going to start being merciful, we're never going to be merciful. So how do we indeed go from those who are by nature disinclined and everything against them to be merciful to being merciful? It's very simply by going to the source of all mercy. We are merciful, not because of our nature, not because we just want to try really hard to be merciful. We are merciful because God has been merciful with us. He has been merciful. He is treating you with mercy right now. He will be merciful to you. God is so rich in mercy. He pours so much mercy out on you in your past, at this moment, for all eternity. He has not just enough overflow that as he pours it into you, some might trickle out of you. He has such an overflow of mercy that he changes your entire identity as one who is not primarily the victim of the sin or the sin of others or the consequences of sin or yourself or the sin of others, but you're not sort of the victim of sin. You are the recipient of divine mercy, and so much divine mercy has been poured out to your life, and not only allows you to have a little extra mercy to pour out, it actually changes the whole governing identity that you walk with, that I am now one who walks in mercy because so much has been poured out into me that I now just walk in mercy ahead because that's how much he pours out. And we will never be as merciful as God. That's just impossible. But I believe we will be as merciful in proportion to how much mercy we believe we have been given. And Christian, you have received. You are the current recipient of an infinite amount of mercy. And your future is this. You will receive an infinite amount of mercy more. If you are here and have never placed your trust in Jesus Christ, if you are not a Christian, I think it's easy to misread this verse. It's easy to misread this and say, okay, so here's what this verse is saying. If I show mercy, some point down the line, God will show me mercy. So, okay, here's my plan. I'll live a good life. I'll live a merciful life. And then I'll kind of hope for the best. God will give me what I'm due. God will give me what I'm owed. And he'll kind of pay me back. If that's how you're reading this, if that's your plan of I'll be merciful so then God will sort of do something good for me. I'll get what I'm due. Your plan will fail. You don't want to be paid back by God. You don't want what you're owed by God. All your efforts, good and earnest as they may be, cancel out zero sins. What you need, what I need, what we all need is mercy from God. All of our efforts, all of our trying to live a certain way, they do anything to earn one bit of our salvation. But God is rich in mercy. And right now, his mercy is that he's extending to you another day on his earth to breathe the air he created. He is giving you more time and an invitation to turn from your own effort, to turn from your own ways, to turn from your own sort of trying to get to God on your own through good works and just being good to those around you, and to turn to the one source of salvation we have, to turn to his mercy, to repent of our sins, ask for his mercy. His mercy is our only hope. Christianity is not sort of we do some and God does the rest, that God meets us halfway. Christianity is not, boy, people are in trouble, but God is inclined to help. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We hated God. We deserve hell. We have nothing to plead but the mercy of God. But God is so generous to pour it out. And he has an infinite amount that he pours out on his people all the time. So your hope is not what you can do, what you can bring. Your hope is to plead the mercy of God. But you know, for all of us, God wasn't merciful to us in one way or one day, right? Oh yeah, I remember that time he was merciful to me. Okay, yep, good. I guess I could be merciful now. No, it's his constant disposition towards us is he treats us in divine mercy every moment of every day. Even when he's correcting us, he's correcting us in his mercy so that he can keep us close to him, right? Every day he pours out his mercy on you. And you can anticipate the more and more you walk in the good of that, the more and more he will continue to pour out. Listen, he's just getting started on the mercy that he has shown you, no matter how many years ago you first looked to him and trusted him. However long it's been in your life that you first trusted in him, he's just getting started on the mercy he's pouring out. And every day of your life, he looks at Christ's record of perfection, not your record of sin, and pours out more mercy. And so when I'm sinned against, here's what can happen. I can be aware of how I feel. I can be aware of what they deserve. And if I do that, I'm going to hold mercy back. I'm going to just sort of withhold it. But if I'm more aware that I have been shown an infinite amount of mercy, mercy at the highest cost, and that he is showing it to me, not just one time, but he is showing it to me now. He shows it to me at every moment. Listen, sin hurts, and it's painful. But he's the one who took the pain and the hurt caused by me for me. Listen, their sin is painful, but I can be aware. My sin was the reason for Calvary. And right now, he is dealing with mercy towards me. He's pouring it out on me right now, and he will tomorrow. And his plan for the next day is to pour out more mercy on you, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And you will not exhaust his mercy, but rather he keeps pouring it down and pouring it down each and every day. I mean, how many times have I come to the Lord with the same sin, in the same pattern, and the same cycle of prayers? And Jesus Christ has never once just rolled his eyes at me like, oh, we're here again. Come on. He's never brushed me off. Every day he has inclined his ears to hear my prayer. And he not only forgives me, he frees me from sin's grip and sanctifies me. I mean, how many times have I been impatient with my kids only to find that Jesus Christ has never been impatient with me? If he were to change his equation for one day, I mean, if he were to change the equation for a moment, if he made for a moment getting into heaven's based on my works, knowing him is based not on what he's done, but what I do, if he were to change it for a moment, I'm done, right? We're done. Yet, we are eternally secure because of his mercy. And it's out of that mercy that overflows, we can extend more mercy. I can trust when in my flesh I want revenge that God is dealing with mercy towards me. When we see suffering, we can run to its aid because we recognize that when we were suffering, God ran towards us. And mercy, it might be costly, but as we extend mercy, he extends more and more and more. Listen, we're never going to pour out more mercy than what God has poured out on us. Mercy, here's where we're at. When I look primarily at others, when I look primarily at what do they deserve, what I feel like giving them, mercy will just stop. But mercy flows when we look to him and see how much he's given. So there is an exchange in this passage. There's an exchange of give mercy and receive mercy. But this is not an even exchange. Yesterday and today and forever. It's hard to even imagine, right? But everything that sin has touched, we will one day see completely transformed by the mercy of God. And we are currently being transformed by his mercy. And so we can extend his mercy as we look more and more to the source of all mercy. And we can look to walk in that in the world around us. It will be costly. But ultimately, he is the one who paid it. So we'd be primarily not givers of mercy, but recipients of divine mercy. So let's be more and more those who walk in the mercy of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let's pray. Father, would you help Living Hope to more and more be a church full of people that look to extend your mercy to others, that would be quick to forgive, would be quick to run in aid to a world hurting around them. Lord, would Living Hope be a church that more and more is gripped by the mercy of God, pours out the mercy, their mercy on others. And Lord, it would not be done to show how merciful Living Hope is as a people. But Lord, as Living Hope pours out mercy more and more, interacts with one another in mercy, reaches out to the world in need in mercy, would it not point to how merciful Living Hope is, but to the merciful Savior that Living Hope has? So Lord, would you more and more in this body accomplish this for your purposes, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.